Could life be sweeter? Agatha, Annie announced to her cat as she stepped down from the ladder. Marriage is marvelous. I recommend it. The sleek black feline atop the coffee bar paused in the fastidious cleansing of a pink padded paw to regard Annie with unimpressed amber eyes. Annie wasn't surprised at the lack of response. Salmon souffle would garner Agatha's respect, but not the irrelevant, to food, musings of her owner. And Agatha would assuredly take exception to that designation of possession. She had no sense of humor and a clear sense of her own preeminent position at Death on Demand. The finest mystery bookstore this side of Atlanta, Annie announced, picking up her adored feline and stroking her silky black fur. With the ease born of long practice, Agatha draped herself comfortably over Annie's shoulder, yawned daintily, and focused her inscrutable gaze on the back wall. Following Agatha's glance, the bookstore owner observed with pleasure the new watercolors she had just finished hanging over the mantel on the west wall. She could always count on drawing the island's most omnivorous mystery readers and upping sales for the day by at least 30% on the first of every month. They hurried in for a glimpse of the mystery paintings. Competition was keen. The first person to correctly identify all five paintings by title and author received free coffee for a month and a free book. New, of course. Some of her first-edition collector's items were pricey indeed, such as Michael Innes' Christmas at Candleshoe, $75, J.D. Carr's The Murder of Sir Edmund Godfrey, $150, and Harvey J. O'Higgins' The Adventures of Detective Barney with a Goldstone Bookplate, $160. As Annie contemplated the paintings, she grinned. Was there anything more fun than the mystery combined with humor? Sometimes wry, sometimes dark, sometimes wacky, but always trenchant, the humor in the mystery limned society's pomposities and posturings with wicked delight. And these watercolors illustrated some of the best in murderous humor, American style. In the first, a young man in a white coat, cap, and apron loped down a brick sidewalk in the light of a street lamp. Running beside him was an elderly man, the image of Shakespeare. He carried a lion's head and a black Homburg, and was impressively fleet of foot for a man of his age. In the second, three children hunkered close together in an obviously conspiratorial consultation as they peered out from behind a bush at a pink villa, guarded by a young policeman in uniform. The oldest member of the trio was a tall teenage girl with fluffy brown hair and enormous brown eyes. Listening attentively to her were a delicate blonde with smoky gray eyes and a small boy with a dirty face, unruly brown hair, and a hole in the sleeve of his jersey. In the third painting, the youngish man walking up the dark street had an air of diffidence and indecision. Everything about him was round, shoulders, stomach, forehead, and spectacles. Deep in thought, very deep in thought, he was totally oblivious to the black car cruising up the street, the gun poking from its window, and the splintered hole in the trash can he'd just passed. In the fourth painting, the skinny, angular, fairly athletic male with the deep tan, scruffy shorts, and bare feet struck a discordant note in the formality of the elegant paneled library. A darkly handsome man in a business suit sat behind the desk. He held up, for his visitor to see, a .38-caliber Smith & Wesson. Without warning, Agatha turned and, smoothly as a ballerina, sprang back to the coffee bar. Art, her attitude clearly indicated, was not a matter which deserved a feline's undivided attention. Muscles bunching beneath her sleek black coat, she flew from the coffee bar to a nearby table and disappeared behind a stack of Sue Grafton's latest, all autographed by the author. In the fifth painting, the woman police officer was young, tall, and slender, and wore her dark hair in a neat bun. She stared thoughtfully at the door of a pink concrete block building, decorated with metal signs, including one with the establishment's name, Ruby Bees. Her face reflected curiosity, suspicion, and uneasiness. Which was the funniest? Well, it depended upon a reader's mood. The fifth book was a raunchy romp, a guaranteed rib cracker. The first provided wonderful glimpses of the home front during World War II, along with a clever mystery. Each was different and hilarious.